after me. Say, this is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day that you have made. We've chosen to rejoice and be glad. And that's why we're in your house. We took the time to get ready, to get in our cars, and to come to your house. And Lord, we have an expectation that you're going to say something to us that will change our hearts, our minds, so that, Father, the promises in your word will manifest in our lives. And so, Lord, as we talk about hearing your voice and listening to your voice and being guided by your voice, I pray that every person at every level will hear something that will take their faith to new levels. And as I step back so the Spirit of God can use me, I pray in Jesus' name for signs, miracles, and wonders to follow our lives. And Father, even those who are watching by way of the internet, thank you for reaching them right there where they're watching. And we declare that, Father, our lives will never be the same. And it's in Jesus' name. Can everybody say amen, 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 amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Can you give our children one more big hand clap? Can you do that? I mean, that's weeks of practicing. And sometimes people want to know what the church do with the money. Well, we paid for all of those uniforms, costumes, what do you call them? Whatever. So last week I started a new series called Noise Cancellation, Less Noise, Hear God. Everybody say less noise and hear God. The whole series is centered around you and I learning how to remove or at least reduce noise that's around us so that we can clearly hear God's voice. And if you're not aware of it, we live in a culture right now that is talking so loud that it's been difficult for even Christians to hear the voice of God. Amen. And so I said on last week, you and I, we need to cultivate our spiritual ears so that we can hear when God speaks. Because if you don't watch it, especially if you are a seasoned believer, you may allow spiritual wax to get clogged up in your spiritual ears. That will make you dull from hearing the voice of God. Do you know if you use like a tool or something consistently on your hand, it will cause your hands to become callous, which means that your hands now have less sensitivity than it did before you used it? Well, I believe if we hear God's voice and we don't do nothing about it, our ears get dull of hearing. Listen to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, there is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are what, church? Spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. So last week, I'm going to do just a real brief recap because the subject that I'm talking about is so important. So I want to layer, for those of you who may not have been here, last week we had 4 points. And the first one was, if you and I are going to hear the voice of God, hearing requires connection. Everybody say hearing, hearing requires connection. And so I used this as an illustration. These are headphones. And in order for these headphones to have a connection, I must turn them on. And when you and I got born again of God's Spirit by accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our spiritual ears got turned on. And until we connect with God through Christ, we won't be in position to hear Him. Amen. Now, once we're born again and that happens, the second point that we made last week is that hearing requires reception. Everybody say hearing, hearing requires reception. In other words, once our spiritual ears are turned on, They need a spiritual Wi-Fi system to have reception. And so back again to these headphones, I can turn them on, but until they connect via Wi-Fi to some object, I won't be able to take advantage of using them. Well, last week we learned that the Holy Spirit is our spiritual Wi-Fi connection to God. Amen. Have you ever connected your cell phone to a speaker and it's playing the music or whatever you're listening to, but if you wander too far away from that item, it disconnects? Well, some of us don't realize that the further we get from God's way of doing things, watch this now, we don't disconnect from the Holy Spirit because we've been sealed with Him until the day of redemption. But what does happen is, and all you have to do is think about it, we may still be connected, but our sensitivity becomes low. And that's why you got to keep your sin count down. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you right now. Amen. Keep it down. Keep it down. Our third point on last week was that hearing provides direction. Everybody say hearing, hearing. Provides direction. Now, let me say this before we move forward. God can't direct you if God can't correct you. Preach, Pastor Evan, preach. I said God can't direct you if he can't correct you. And the problem with most of us is we don't like correction. So let me get off of that. So we listed five reasons last week of why we need to hear God's voice to provide direction for our lives. And so we didn't get to talk about our fourth point on last week. And so if you're taking notes today, or if you need the notes, just raise your hand and our ushers will give you one. Our message today is ways that God speaks. Ways that God speaks. And so my first point that we're going to jump into is just that. Ways. We're going to talk about ways that God speaks to us. Now, we learned on last week that God still speaks today. It's not something that we made up in our mind or we thought about. No, God's word tells us that God still speaks today. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the past, everybody say in the past. Yes. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us, how church? By his son, whom he also made the universe. So if God, listen, is using his son, Jesus Christ, to speak to us in these last days, how is Jesus doing that? So, well, I'm not going to say that these ways that I'm going to give you are the only ways that God can speak to us, because in the Old Testament, God used a donkey to speak to a prophet. Look at your neighbor and say, are you a donkey? Now look at your other neighbor and say, don't ask me that dumb question no more. So what I'm going to do to simplify these ways that God speaks to us, I'm going to break them down into two categories. I'm going to break them down first in the category of primary. Everybody say primary. And then I'm going to talk about the secondary. Now, the primary way that God wants to speak to us is very, very clear. And that's what I want to focus on for the most part today. And so our media department, to help emphasize my first point right here, they have a video that's queued up and hopefully the sound is ready to come on. So media department, if you would, roll the video clip for us.
Yo, Pastor Ben, how do I hear God's voice?
Read the Bible.
No, but how do I hear his voice out loud?
Read the Bible out loud.
He said, how do I hear God's voice? He said, read the Bible. He said, but how do I hear his voice out loud? He said, read the Bible out loud. So here's the first primary way that God, how many want God to speak to you? Here's the primary way that God wants to speak to us, and it's through his word. Psalm 103 verse 20, a very important verse. They're going to put it on the screen. I'm actually reading out of the King James Version. It says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength. that do his commandments, and these angels that excel in strength, and these angels that do his commandments, they also hearken to the voice of his what? Everybody say the voice of his word. In other words, church, God's word is his voice. Everybody say God's word is his voice. The angels of God, listen, have been instructed to listen to the voice of God's word. And so many angels in our lives who have been assigned to help us in life, they are sitting on the sideline because many of us are saying things that contradict the voice of God's word. Everybody say, God's voice is God's word. Listen to Isaiah chapter 55 verse 10, which makes this same point. He says, for as the rain and snow that comes down from heaven and it does not return, but it waters the earth and it makes the earth to bear and to sprout. And then it also provides seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God compares now his word to this rain and snow that comes from heaven. He says, so will my word be, watch this church, which goes out of my mouth. In other words, he's saying my word comes out of my mouth. Well, how does it come out of his mouth? Through his voice. And then he says, it, my word, which comes out of my mouth or my voice, that it will not return to me void. Watch this. Which means useless or without result. Without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. In other words, God is saying, you know what? When I put my word out there, what I say my word is supposed to do, it is going to do. The problem is my children who I want to voice my word does not do it. So the thing that my word will do in their life, they don't see in their life because they're not speaking my voice of my word in their life. So I'm going to do a quick illustration here. Mario, where's Mario? Mario, come up here very quickly. Mario is one of my aides. Can you give Mario a big hand clap? Make him feel good. So Mario, I'm going to give you some instructions in front of all of these people. Okay. I'm going to ask you to go back in the admin area and ask Keandria to come here for a second because I need her. Will you do that for me? Yes, sir. Okay, good. Y'all give Mario a big hand clap while he does that. Many times, we are voicing our words, but we're not voicing God's word. Amen. So you wonder why your life is getting the results of what your word says. Y'all are paying attention to them, aren't you? Y'all come on up here. All right. So I have a question for you all as an audience. Who asked Keandria to come here? I'm hearing different answers. Okay, how many say Mario did? Raise your hand. Mario. Okay, that's about, I don't know, 25% of y'all. Who say I said? All right, good. All right, first of all, give them a hand clap, and you all may be seated. I asked Keandre to come here. Watch this. I just used Mario's voice for her to get here. But it was my word and his voice. And the earth and the angels of God will respond to the voice of God's word regardless of who's saying it. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? And that's why if you will voice his word, things will not return void in your life. You want your business to succeed? Then you speak God's word over your business. Matthew 4:4 confirms this one more time. It says, but Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. But watch this. But man shall live by every word, there we go, that proceeds where? From the mouth of God. Well, what comes out of your mouth? What do you use to speak? Your voice. So God's word is his voice. Everybody say, God's word is his voice. So now I'm about to say something that might be a little hard. Touch your neighbor and say, he's about to slap you right now. At least I warned you. If you are ignoring God's written word, then you are ignoring the voice of his word. So here's the take-home statement. This is a pimp slap right here. Here's the take-home statement. Stop trying to hear his voice when you are not trying to read his voice. Oh, my. I'm going to say it again. I slept this way. It's time to come this way now. Stop trying to hear his voice when you're not trying to read his voice. And that's the problem. We want to hear God talk to us, but we don't want to read him talking to us. Say amen to that.
Amen.
See, God's word, everybody say God's word. God's word is the standard by which you and I should judge any other voice that comes in our life. The problem is most people don't read his word, which makes it harder to hear his voice to discern and judge what they hear. Everybody say years ago. Years ago, I was about 25 years old. I was single. I met a young lady who lived up the street. Didn't realize they lived up the street because I had never seen her before. And so it was an accident of how I met her. Unless you're single and desperate, you wouldn't see it as an accident. You would see it as a spiritual divine appointment. So I was outside washing my car, and a car went by. And naturally, I just looked up. And then to make sure if I knew him or not, you know, wave at him because it may be a neighbor. So as the car went by, they had two women in it. And so as soon as the car went by, the Holy Spirit said to me, distraction. And I was like, that's no distraction. I didn't even stop and talk to him. A minute goes by, they done circle the block. See, somebody's circling the block on you right now. Look at your neighbor and say, who's circling the block? Yeah. So this time, they stopped. And they spoke, rolled down the windows, say who they were and all that kind of thing. And I introduced myself. And I found out they lived right up the street. And so after they drove off, the Holy Ghost said to me, distraction. How many single in the room? Let me see your hand. How many married in the room? Let me see your hand. Look at somebody and say, do you have some distractions in your life? Married woman, don't let that man distract you on your job. He said distraction. I said the same thing to him. I was like, how's that a distraction? I didn't even get their phone number. They didn't get mine. Well, the next thing I know, the next day, the phone rang in the house. Now, you have to understand, I was staying with a lady. She was like my grandmother. And back in those days, they had phone books. How many know what a phone book is? Yeah, you over 40, that's why. Phone book. She had this young lady had went and looked up Miss Johnson's name, found the phone number in the book. And call me. So Miss Johnson said, Evan, phone's for you. And I'm like, really? I'm in Ohio. Who knows me out here? So anyway, I started talking to this girl. And we went out one or two times. You know, that's it. Because I'm not going to waste my mind, my money, or my emotions on somebody I don't feel like you're supposed to be in my life. But, everybody say but. There's always a but, ain't it? So long story short, I told this lady, I said, hey, look, I need to fast and pray about what direction I'm going with this, right? And so that's what I did. And when I was fasting and praying, I heard, that's your wife, Evan. But how many know I was hearing myself? And see, that's the problem. How do you discern if it's your voice or if it's God's voice? That's why you need some people in your life. And I'll show you that at the end. So anyway, I heard myself say, yep, that's her right there. But I knew enough not to necessarily trust my internal voice at this point. Because watch this, my internal voice should not outweigh the written voice.
Yes. That's good, man.
So I'll never forget. This thought kept circulating in my mind. You did run well. Who did hinder you? You did run. You know how you wake up and you got a song in your spirit or in your head and it just keeps circling. Well, this thought kept circling. You did run well. Who did hinder you? Look at your neighbor and say, you did run well. Who's hindering you? And so finally, after circulating, I was like, let me look this up and see where it is. Well, I found it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. They're going to put it on the screen. This is what God's word was saying to me regarding this situation. He says, Eben, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He said, this persuasion comes not of him who called you. Now listen to this in the Amplified version, because see, some of y'all are in a situation right now and you need the Amplified version. I didn't understand that King James stuff. Oh, thou dost what? Well, we gonna amplify it for you right now. The Amplified version says, where the truth, you are running the race well. Who has interfered and prevented you from obeying the truth? He says, this deceptive persuasion is not from him who called you to freedom in Christ. And the Lord said to me, Eben, I didn't send her. See, everybody that comes into your life, God didn't send them. The question is, do you have enough ears to hear what God is trying to say to you? Why do you have to date somebody for a whole year and figure out they not for you? It shouldn't take you a whole year to figure it. Why you engaged for 5 years? 5 years? If he don't know that you the one in no 5 years, baby, baby, baby. I hear a man say, Pastor, you're putting pressure on me. No, you're putting pressure on yourself, brother. 5 years. Church, the reason why God's word, his written word, is so important is because it's the only thing that can divide our soul from our spirit. Your soul is spiritual. Your spirit is spiritual. And those two are so close together. The only thing, everybody say the only thing. The only thing that can divide them is the word of God. And when you want something really bad, you need to hear what God is saying to you and not what you're saying to you. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God, everybody say the word of God. The word of God, it's quick. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the word of God pierces even to the dividing of your soul and your spirit and the joints and marrow. And the word of God, watch this, church, is a discerner of your thoughts and the intents of your heart. Let me read the Amplified, because there are some people that need to hear the Amplified this morning. Because God's been telling you and you're not listening. For the word of God is living. It's active. It's full of power. making it operative and energizing and effective. And the word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the word of God penetrates as far to the division of your soul and your spirit, the completeness of a person and of both the joints and the marrow and the deepest parts of our nature. The word, watch this, exposes and judges the very thoughts and the intentions of our heart. And the problem is, if you don't have the word on the inside, there's nothing to judge you. Okay, let me read it one more time. This is now the easy to read version. This is the people who didn't go to college. Spiritually. I ain't talking about naturally, because you can go to college and still don't have no ears to hear. Now, these are for the people who, who got their GED spiritually. Let me read it to you. Nothing wrong with a GED. It'll get you there. God's word is alive. It's working. Everybody say, it's working. And it is sharper than the sharpest sword and cuts all the way into us. The word cuts deep. Everybody say, it cuts deep. See, I'm cutting deep right now. I'm the Lord talking to some people right now. He told you to get away from that man. Lord, is he the right man? Well, why don't we allow Hebrews 4:12 to answer your question? It cuts deep to the place where the soul and the spirit are joined. God's word cuts to the center of our joints and our bones, and it judges the thoughts and the feelings in our heart. And this is why you got to have the word, because the word will help govern and manage your feelings. Because see, your feelings will fool you. This is why you can't get married on feelings, because your feelings are like the weather, Texas weather. Snowing one day, hell in the next minute. Then the sun coming out. What the? You can't trust how you feel. And when you make decisions in your life based on how you feel, you know what happens, church? You will have an inconsistent life because your feelings are inconsistent. And most people, I need to hurry up. Most people make bad choices because the word is not on the inside of them to judge their thoughts and their hearts. And many times, what has happened is we've substituted the word with what we've heard in culture. That noise that we're talking about, you know, like statistics and standards. There's not enough black men today that are Christian. Well, first of all, why do you have faith in a statistic? Because see, what's for me is for me. God already knows what I need when I need it. And the fact that you are 50 and single it shows that you need to be single. I know I am. Thank you. And this is, watch this, church, this is why we must learn, everybody say learn. We must learn to respect the preached word like it's his voice to us. You know, sometimes I'll get emails or something, or I'll meet with people and be like, Pastor, you be sounding like you talking right to me. I'm like, I am. It's just the Holy Spirit, right? So here's the principle that I want you to live by when it comes to hearing God's voice better. Here's the principle. The voice of Jesus will never contradict the words from Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Everybody say, the voice of Jesus will never contradict the words from Jesus. So you may be saying, well, Pastor Evan, I don't have a problem with the written word of Jesus. It's just me trying to distinguish Jesus' voice from my voice, which brings us now to the second way that God speaks to us. And this one right here is way number two, and it's the inner witness, the inner voice, and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the principle on this one. God desires to speak to us from the inside, but we can't make him say nothing. You cannot bully God into telling you what you want to hear. Right now, I have a brush that I've lost. I said, what is that a big deal? When you are a waver, a brush is important. Okay? So women, let me give you perspective. It's like you losing your wig. Okay? I cannot find this brush. I'm looking for this brush. I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, where's this brush? First lady has surrendered her prayer life to my brush. The other day, I was like, babe, do you need me to pray for you about anything? And she was like, that you find your brush. But I can't make God tell me what my brush is. Amen. And let me say this. God can use the Holy Spirit to tell you what he wants you to know while you're busy, while you're running around. But it may require you being still to hear what you want from him. Did y'all get that? See, you can be running around, and if God wants you to know something, he can tell you. But if you want something from him, he might not necessarily give it to you while you're ripping and running. And many times, we're on the go. Look at your neighbor and say, I think you're too busy. We're on the go. We're ripping and running. But we want to hear God clearly. When a lot of times, we need to stop and be still. So let me give you an example of this. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Sometimes God needs our undivided attention. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1. It says, now the boy Samuel was attending to the service of the Lord under the supervision of Eli. The word of the Lord was rare and precious in those days. Visions, that is, new revelations of divine truth, were not widespread. Yet it happened at that time, as Eli was lying down in his own place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he couldn't see well. And the oil lamp of God had not gone out. And Samuel, everybody say Samuel. Samuel was what doing? What was he doing, church? Come on, church, what was he doing? Come on, one more time, what was he doing? He would look at your neighbor and say, you need to lie down somewhere. He was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. That the Lord called Samuel and he answered. What did he say, church? Here I am. Not what you want. He said, here I am. Watch what happened though. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. But Eli said, I did not call you. Lie down again. So he went and laid down. Then the Lord called him yet what? Again, he said, Samuel. So Samuel got up and he went to who? Okay, so that right there, that shows you that whoever, I'm going to use a pastoral voice in your life. It might sound like the voice of the Lord. You say, see, some of y'all, I've heard people say, Pastor, I was at home, I was about to do something. I heard your voice. That was the Lord. Now, you can see that Eli's voice sounded like the Lord's voice. Samuel hadn't figured it out. And sometimes we need somebody in our life that's going to help train us to hear that it's not your pastor's voice, it's actually God's voice that you're hearing. Because let me show you what happened. Eli came and says, that I didn't call you, go lie down. Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know or personally experience the Lord and the word of the Lord and was not revealed directly to him. So the Lord called Samuel how? A third time. So listen, don't worry about it. I'm going to miss God. No, if God reached out to Samuel three times, he'll reach out to you. So he said a third time. What verse am I at? What? Eight. All right. He said it came a third time. And Eli said, here I am. He said, here I am. For you did call me. And then Eli understood that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. And if it shall be, if he calls you, you say, speak, Lord, for your servant is what? Listening. So Samuel went to lay down. And then the Lord came and stood as previous times and said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered. And he said, speak, for your servant is listening. And of course, the Lord began to talk to Samuel. Samuel had to be available when God spoke. And this is why, listen, it's important for you to be able to at least have an Eli in your life. So Eli can point you in the direction of what God's voice sounds like. And this is why you can't disrespect, everybody say disrespect. You can't disrespect the voice of your pastor. Because if you disrespect the voice of your pastor, you're actually disrespecting the voice of God, because he is standing in God's stead as long as he's preaching the word. And this is why I don't like personal opinions when people are preaching. I know it may sound good. I know it may look good. I know it has some kind of swag on it. But let me tell you something. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but this word ain't going nowhere. That's why I preach it. So here's the question as I close here. How do we discern our voice and our thoughts from God's voice and his thoughts? And I have 7 ways that I'm going to show you how to do that. In other words, I'm saying, how can you and I tell if it's me talking or if it's God talking? Well, everybody say, that's a great question. That's a great question. And I'm going to answer it in our next lesson. So you're going to have to be here. Now, next week is the production, so it's going to be the next lesson. I'm going to show you how to discern between if it's you or him. So here's our homework right now. This week, everybody say this week. This week, I want you to ask God to speak to you from his word regarding something that can help you or somebody else. I'm going to say that again. Here's your homework assignment. Ask God to speak to you from his word regarding something that can help you or someone else. Ask him to give you revelation, inspiration, correction, or direction, whether it's for you or somebody else, so that you can begin to hear what God's voice sounds like from his word. Did y'all get something out of the word today? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap right there. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you hear today.